This is part two. We're looking at, there it is, despise and destroy the magnificence of religion as such, with emphasis being used there. And we're going after the pastors. I'm going after the pastors. Now, I hope it's so, you know, I don't want anybody to think that really got this bitter attitude towards that kind of stuff, because they really don't. That's not the point at all. But they're everywhere. What's going on out there today? And we're looking at what it was like in the Old Testament when it said they had no shepherd. That's like what we have today, or we have today what it was like, except they never called shepherds by Paul. People never called sheep. And people have pastors all over the place. But they're a dime a dozen. In some places, anyway. And what is it about them that makes them so popish and so beloved as such here? We really have people all over religion, in the churches all over the country, who have pastors who are not pastoring. So these people really have no shepherd as such. So the pastor, we'll get to that one. Probably Wednesday. Tonight we're going to look at a couple classic places where we find out that God was not pleased with the fact that his people had no shepherd and what he says about it. So, let's look at Ezekiel 34. Now let's go up to Ezekiel 34. Here we go. Verse 1. And we'll just go through the chapter. I don't need to just read for you because you cannot read. But we'll just make some comments as we go here. Remember, this is Old Testament. So I'll tell you, the pastors today better be... sound is back, right? Oh, no. Here it is. Here we go. Sorry. So as we continue on here, we go down to Ezekiel 34, which is pretty much the full chapter, but I'm going to just read for you. But the pastors today ought to really be pretty thankful that they have the soundest back, right? Yep, should be. Should be pretty thankful, that because this is what God said about them, and in those days, and it's not pretty. So here we go. Verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying... See, now, even just right there, we know that that's how God communicated then. And the people today think that he does the same thing. Well, God told me, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, whatever. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Now, we can look at that. Is that what's going on today? Well, again, this is Old Testament stuff. So, those that are sick, they weren't there to strengthen. He didn't heal anybody. He didn't fix anybody. They were bound up, which was broken. They didn't help anybody along that line. And neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Didn't go out and bring them back. Neither have you sought that which, didn't even go looking for them. But with force and with cruelty is how they were pasturing them, shepherding them. And they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field, when they were scattered. So here's what takes place, see. We got these people today we have the pastors are doing what they're doing, and are they leading with cruelty and force? I'm going to say yes, because the force is by guilt. I call it extortion, because they tell people that if you don't do this, God's going to get you. And with cruelty, sure, it takes the joy out of their day. It takes the joy of being a Christian away. And it's cruel to teach them like they teach them, especially the young people, the kids. So when they grow up and they find out that really isn't what it was, they're gone. And they scatter. And because they're scattered and they're on their own, they become susceptible to the world's way and the world's thing, or to the religious ways. Or they just quit and beg the whole thing, and now they're out there with the God of this world. So the comparison is there. But we're going to go way beyond that. We're not going to take this and use this to preach and put the guilt trip on people. We're just going to see what it was like in the Old Testament. Have another example in Jeremiah. And then at the next time we get together, we'll talk about what Paul actually says is going on today. So we're not going to do the Old Testament guilt trip thing, which everybody still expects anymore. Verse 6. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Okay, so there's what the situation was. There was the problem. Can you speak up a little bit? Okay. Put the microphone a little closer, too. I'm still trying to wake up. This must have been a hard nap. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Okay, because this is what you were and were not doing. Here's what God says to you. As I live, saith the Lord God. You ever had anybody, ever had your parents talk about, say like that? Boy, as I live, I've never seen you do anything like that before, or whatever. You ever heard that phrase? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. He just kind of reminds them, you know, here's what's after here. As I live, because you guys, he says it one more time. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. God's against these guys now. And we got so many people that would say that what I'm talking about here is wrong. It's unloving. It's bitterness because you're not a pastor of a church anymore. No. I go back to all the pastors I remember, and we might talk about that this morning. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Okay, so God's going to step in and take care of the situation. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. Now, if you want to do this on a spiritual thing, we can say something like, see, God says, listen, the pastors are failing everybody in the churches, so I'm going to give you guys the Bible. And I'm going to help you. If you just get into this thing, I'll help you. I'll help you live in a promised, fantastic, good pasture of a land. Okay, so a guy could go there if he wanted. But we've got our Bible. We've got to rightly divide this thing. But are we in a good pasture? Are we having a great time? Have we got everything we need? You know, no, we haven't gotten to this point yet. So this is the problem of guys going back to the Old Testament and spiritualizing them for the illustration, the object lesson, I can't think of the word, but the illustration is not 100%. So you got to kind of wing when you do something like that. No, we don't want to do that. This is what he was telling his people. And he was telling his people this, not the heathen, telling this to his people. And, you know, they did better in times, but it still wasn't the greatest thing. The millennium's coming, and they'll get their chance. They'll get their reward as such. But until then, a lot of things are going wrong for these people. Verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Now, when he caused them to lie down, that's like, I just made me think of this here. When the dog jumps up to me, you know, to sleep with me or whatever, sometimes I have to say, listen, you need to lie down. Okay, he looks at you with this dumb look. And so you kind of grab the collar a little bit, and you kind of pull the collar down. Well, so then, okay, I get the hint. I lie down. And it's just like, here's this. I will cause them to lie down. He has to kind of make them lie down. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which we have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, here's that, well, therefore, his therefores are following always some hard statement. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, and behold, even I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with the shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. I like his illustrations here. So yeah, we could spiritualize and say, yes, we pulled away from the church, we pulled away from these pastors as such, and God gave us this Bible that we can still follow. So I guess if you're skilled in manipulating an Old Testament story, truth they are, into a modern kind of a guilt trip on people, but no, we'll do that with Paul, and it's not a guilt trip. Paul just flat warned us about these guys. I will set up one shepherd over them, 23, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness, and sleep in the woods. And it goes on, what they've got coming. I will make them the places round about my hill of blessing, and I will cause a shower to come down in his season. There's your shower of blessings. There should be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and ye shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, so is this what's going on today? Well, do people really believe that what's going on in their showers of physical blessings, that he is the Lord? Now, if they would understand the spiritual blessings from their Bible, they would realize, yes, he is the Lord, to be able to do all those things. But physical blessings? Again, that's the Jews, that's the Israel during this time. Yes, they received showers of physical blessings. And they will in the millennium. And sure, their lives get better in the Old Testament story here, but never does it get to be like it says here. 28. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Neither bear the shame of the heathen, that's us, the heathen, see, during this time the Gentiles. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. The only way that you know that the Lord is our God and is with us is from your Bible reading. There's some people out there that have got a pretty heavy-duty disease. There's some people out there that haven't had a pastor, haven't had a church to go to for years. There's people out there that have just had it rough all the time. And they can easily say, where is God with all this? I mean, I lost my kids, I lost my job, I lost my money, I'm in debt, I am not healthy, blah, 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 blah. And where's God with all this? Because those people are expecting God to prove themselves physically. Where is God today? Get in your Bible, you find out where he's at, and you find out why things are the way they are. Romans chapter 2. I mean, Paul explains everything. 31, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So there's just a chapter, one of the chapters that talks about, go to Jeremiah 23, that talks about the fact that these guys have no shepherd and what God thinks about it. Now, Jeremiah 23, he goes after these shepherds as such and tells us what these guys are doing. More specifically, Jeremiah talks about these guys that are messing with the word of God. Jeremiah has had the same message that we have today. You guys, you folks, you church people, you pastors, you're rejecting the very words of God. You got a different Bible version. You don't rightly divide rightly. You're making things up, and you'll see that if you haven't read this Jeremiah 23. Actually, Jeremiah, the whole book of Jeremiah is fantastic because he's telling the Israelites, you guys are rejecting the words of God. And we are telling the Gentiles, hey, you guys are rejecting the words of God. So what these shepherds did when they scattered the flock by not doing what they're supposed to be doing, here's specifically what they were not doing or what they were doing when it came to rejecting the words of the Lord. And there's some spectacular things in this chapter here. I'm going to have to get the sniffles out of the video. That's 1807, okay? 1807, there's a sniffle I've got to get rid of. It shows up on the graph, but it doesn't show up on the video. Okay, let's look to verse 9. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. This is Jeremiah talking from this part. The other one was Ezekiel, obviously. So this is what Jeremiah says. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord, and because of the words of his holiness. So here's Jeremiah that understood who God was, understood his words. And he was shook. I mean, he just understood this was God speaking here, that these people are rejecting the very words of God. It says in verse 9, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. And their course is evil, and their force is not right. Here we go. For both prophet and priest are profane. Remember what, if it's not rightly divided, remember what it's called? Profane and vain babblings in Timothy. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. And again, people think that the church is the house of God, which we know it's not. But the similarities there, within the church, the pastors today, the preachers have profaned the words of his holiness. In my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. Okay, that's preachable. They shall be driven out and fall therein. Okay. You see that taking place in the Bible versions. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. So now we've got to realize that God is not operating the severity of God. Remember in Romans 11:22, he says, you know, they have known the severity. We're reading about the severity of God. This is what he did to these shepherds that were taking his words and, you know, profaning them. He doesn't work that way today. the goodness of God bringeth these preachers and pastors to repentance, if they ever just get a hold of a rightly divided message here. As I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria, they prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Okay? So, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Again, physical, Old Testament physical. But now listen to these next couple of verses here. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. Do you see that? But people, what the preachers are preaching today, they make these people vain. It's a waste of time. They speak a vision of their own hearts. Their heart. I think it says heart. And not out of the mouth of the Lord. So these pastors, as good and beloved, as marvelous as they are, from their college degrees and stuff, they're speaking what they think, not what the mouth of the Lord says. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. Don't these guys always talk about peace? You know, just smile and be happy to everybody. You shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Ever heard these pastors? For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Well, I've got his word right here. I stand in the counsel of the Lord with this Bible. I perceived his word, and I hear his word, and I marked his word. Yeah, we can say that today. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Again, this is the severity of God during the Old Testament days. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. Here are some more great verses here. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. All these pastors who have a different Bible, wrongly divided King James and everything, God hasn't spoken to them. Well, the book's got the truth in it, sure it does, but they're not reading it. You see the point there? As far as they're concerned, God hasn't spoken to them, but they just know because God has, they think God has spoken to them. They read their Bible. But if they had stood in my counsel, I like this verse, but if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, that's what the preachers are supposed to do today, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. So if these pastors would preach what God truly says and caused his people to hear his words, then they would have turned to Paul, to the risen Savior through Paul. That's the way. And it changes their walk, sure. And Christ took care of the sin itself. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord? Am not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Come on, you preachers, you can't get away from me. Here's another one. Here, this one's fantastic. Should have read this last week. I've heard what the prophet said. They prophesy lies in my dream, in my name, saying, I have dreamed. I have dreamed. Thank you, Martin Luther King there. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Good night, Bob. See, there it is. They are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. These verses, some of these verses really could be used in the explanation of what's going on today. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name by my name from Baal. Here it is again. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And that's what we're doing today. We have his word. We're trying to speak it faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? I like this comparison here. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. That's what these guys are doing. They're taking the word of God away from people. Behold, I'm against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. God didn't tell them what these Bible versions are telling, are saying. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. See, by their lightness. Paul would have us be sober. This is serious stuff we're dealing with here. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. So these pastors in these churches today, they're not doing their people a favor at all. So there's what Jeremiah recognizes with the prophets, the preachers as such, in those days. And so what's going on today is nothing new. It happened to the people in Old Testament days. They just didn't have different Bibles. They had preachers and prophets as such say different things and said, God told me to tell you this. No, God didn't tell you to say that at all. We've got guys with different Bibles today that say, well, see, God told me to say this. No, he didn't tell you to say that. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 is different in these new Bibles. None of the new Bibles say to rightly divide. A lot of things are missing. No, God didn't say anything in that NIV. He spoke to me in the King James. So you just mark those lines up there. Those are fantastic statements that we could use, you know, for what's going on today. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. That's what a pastor is supposed to do. Be faithful to his words, not change them. Oh, well. Let's go to now. So there's your Ezekiel, and there's your Jeremiah. Let's go to the Gospels, which is still Old Testament. And let's look up some things in there about this. These shepherds that are lying, or these prophets that are lying, or these people that have no shepherd anymore. They're on their own as such. Let's go here to, let's go back to Matthew 9:36, where we kind of started this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. I think we went through the book of Jeremiah two or three times a long time ago. Enjoyed those evenings. Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Again, we'll see from Paul that that's what's happening today. These people who have pastors, the pastors are lying to them. Profane and vain babblings. Different Bibles. He's not speaking what God told them to say. They're speaking a vision of their own heart, it says in Jeremiah. And here, Jesus had compassion on these guys that had no shepherd, they had no preacher, they had no pastor, they had no prophet as such. And they're out there scattered on their own. I also mentioned the fact that this is where the harvest is plenteous, stuff that they say today, well, that's baloney. Let's go to Mark 6:34, it's in Mark again. He says, when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So Jesus cares about this stuff. But he gave us a Bible. And he says, here, read it. It's written down. You got it there to study. You've got it there to, you know, review it. Remember it, mark it, underline it, you know, study this thing. We have his words in such a fashion, never been done in the past, and will never be done in the future. Like we said, in the tribulation, there will be a famine of hearing the word of God. So, let's look at Matthew 26. Let me show you something. Matthew 26:31. Then Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But, you know, here we see all these examples of scattered Israelites. And if the Lord knows that when He comes, He's going to offend everybody, and it's going to smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So He knows He's the cause. He said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." He knows what's going to happen here. And everybody's going to take off and run and hide. We've got a King James Bible. And if this King James Bible has done more to cause division in the churches, because they won't go with it. These people should not have been offended because of Christ. He was their Messiah. But they were, and they scattered because of it. People should not be offended at this King James Bible, but because they are, you got all these different churches and denominations and Bible versions and books and musical piece, you know, the whole thing. It's a mess. That's why this website basically is, you know, is there for the scattered Christians. This brings us back together into this King James Bible, helps us get back into unity again. We don't have a building to go into, but this place is for the people that are scattered all over this country and world who know this King James Bible is the Word of God. You need to learn about rightly dividing it, learn how to follow the risen Savior through Paul, and that's why this is for those that are scattered everywhere. Remember, we had a church, and the church came apart because of it. Went someplace to try to start a church based on Paul. That wasn't going to happen. So what's left is a bunch of scattered people that are looking for the truth, and they find it not in my preaching, but in a rightly divided King James Bible. So you can sit down all by your little self, you and your Bible, and hear from the words of God and be faithful to the very words of God. It's that simple. And if you can hang in there, you will recognize religion, and you will despise and destroy the magnificence of it, etc., etc., etc. So, just because of him, and just because of a King James Bible, everything is just falling apart, and yet that should bring everybody together. Let's go here to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Here's what we have today. We had those days, and we're still going to have today, but we'll let Paul take care of that Wednesday night with the sermons about that thing. John chapter 10, verse 12. "But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep, the hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." So hirelings, what we got in the pulpits today. Now again, this is sheep. This is the sheep are being eaten, da-da-da-da. And we know again that Paul does not call Christians sheep, and the pastors are not shepherds. This is the Gentile bunch. We're not, you know, Jew clones. We can't, anyway. But they are like a hireling. They preach out there and they teach because they want to get the money, they want to get the job. And I understand how important it is to get the money. You know, I realize that the money is still a necessity. You have to preach about the money once in a while because the pastors need it. The church needs it. This website needs it. We do need it. But that is not why we're doing this. If this was just a hiring, we could care less what happens to the people. If the hireling fleeth, when the wolf shows up, the hireling leaves. See, as far as I'm concerned, the wolf is showing up with pastors. That's why I want to teach and preach about this thing about the pastors today. I'm not jealous. I'm not bitter as such. It has nothing to do with just one place I was at. This is from my experience that I've seen what these pastors will do to the people. And like I say, Paul would be much more specific than I'm trying to be tonight. We're just looking at how this is nothing new. Happened in the Old Testament. It's going on in the Gospels. And we will see what Paul has to say, what we have in pulpits today. So far as I'm concerned, the wolves have arrived. The wolves are even in the pulpits. They destroyed the pastors, and now they're destroying the people, and they're destroying the children. And we have a religion that's all set up just waiting for the Antichrist, and the people are going to love every bit of it. Anyway, so there's the hireling stuff here. Let me show you something before we get back into something else here. Let's go to Hebrews, of all places. Now remember, Hebrews, Jews, this is not to us. Hebrews 13:10. It's hard to do a lesson when you just barely want your nose not to sniff here. Hebrews 13:10. I don't think I've got the right. Maybe it must be 12:10, maybe. Okay, let me get my... Why do I have Hebrews 13? Okay, let me check out something really quick on the my concordance thing here. I'm missing something here. Hebrews 13:20. There we go. What did I say? Hebrews 13:10. There, Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. We're looking at words to the Jews, the Hebrews. Look at 1 Peter, which everybody thinks 1 Peter is written to us. No, it's not. We don't get preached. We're not supposed to be getting preached Peter. That's tribulational stuff. But Peter says in 1 Peter 2:25, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." That's Old Testament. That's Jews. How many of us Gentiles have returned? We haven't returned unto the shepherd. We were never there. Again, proof that Peter is written to the Jews and the Christians during the tribulation. And also look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," and he's going to come when it's a Jewish element of the tribulation, see, "you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." That's not written to us. That's not one of our crowns. We're not returning to the shepherd. Never were there in the first place. So the shepherd sheep thing is all Old Testament Jewish talk. Now let's finish up here with Matthew chapter 7. Go back to Matthew 7. 15. Jesus warns his people. Matthew 7:15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves." We're going to find out that Paul says the same similar thing. He just doesn't compare them to sheep, because the Gentiles are not sheep. And yet the preachers are preaching the Great Commission. They're preaching the gospel message, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's Old Testament. They're preaching Jewish doctrine. So yeah, why not call everybody sheep? But that's not what Paul says we are. Matthew 24, we know that chapter. Matthew 24, verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." We know that. Look at verse 24. "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Well, the very elect are the Jews, not the Gentiles. So again, tribulational stuff, when the Jews would be the ones being aimed at here. Mark 13:22, the same thing. Mark 13:22, we'll stop there. Matthew, Mark. Look at Mark 13:22. "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." We're not the elect. Okay, so what we know here is, you know, this would be good spiritual preaching about warning of the days when there'll be false Christs and false prophets, etc., etc. And we know that's happening. But do these guys that preach this stuff today realize that they are the ones that Paul preaches against? Because they're teaching a false message. They're teaching, yeah, they preach signs and wonders. They're teaching a gospel message, according to Mark 16, that if you preach the Great Commission, you're supposed to be having signs and wonders and miracles, etc., etc. And everybody's being taught to know if God's alive is when God does something in your life. That's a physical sign. The meat to get to is, what does Paul say about pastors today? And they're not going to touch him with a 10-foot pole. They don't dare get into Paul's teachings. because they will be exposing themselves for what they are and who they are. And like I say, everybody loves their pastor. And I've had so many people hear what their pastor's teaching is wrong, and they accept it, they realize it, and they still love the guy. Then you got these pastors that put touch not the anointed or something like that, touch not the anointed one. Let God, no, God is telling you to get away because your pastor is lying to you, lying to your children, lying to your family. Get away from that. And there's so many people that like what we preach and teach here, but they still go back to that church and they still let their pastor lie and deceive them because their wives or their children just can't imagine not going to church someplace. They're going there for the wrong reason. For the music, for the teens, they go for the music. For the hillbilly music, or the whooping and the hollering, and the Hiles graduates are what they are, the Ruckman guys are what they are, and the Landmark guys are what they are. Nobody's going to church for the truth. Because if they did, they would find out a fantastic doctrine according to the risen Savior. Then they would find out that the word W-A-L-K is nothing but a four-letter dirty word to them. Because Paul teaches us that we can walk to please God. But it takes a living sacrifice of our bodies to do so. And who wants to hear that? Even the Paul guys don't hear that. They just get the marvelous doctrine about imputation, maybe. And they find out when the church really began, that's all they care about. Anyway, I won't get into that stuff. So there's the first two-thirds of the message about despising and destroying the magnificence of the pastors today that have brought on this religion that's going to carry right on over into the tribulation and the coming of the Antichrist. And Paul and the risen Savior expose it all, which we will do Wednesday night, which most of you will not be. Well, you guys will be there. The ones that are here tonight will be there. So there's the stuff. I won't fall asleep and wake up 2 minutes after I'm supposed to be there. Won't be quite so yawny and sniffy, hopefully. So let me turn off the video thing here. Probably didn't even turn it on when I look at it here.